The Art of Forming the Conscience of a Child. A grandmother who attended the talk you are about to hear told us afterward, "Even before Father Harden had finished speaking, I was inwardly moved. How I yearned to have heard his voice of wisdom when I was newly married." The grandmother added, "If my husband and I had only known." Regrets are natural, and one is aware of what could have been. Had I only known. Eternal Life staff will, no doubt, hear this or similar comments, along with orders for additional audio tapes, from many of you after listening to this tape. Think of the good you can do now, and the regrets which can be relieved now, by getting audio tapes into the hands of those who are newly married, raising a family, planning to get married, pre-Cana conference instructors, priests, deacons, or others who regularly counsel for marriage. It is an honor for Eternal Life to present Father John Harden.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Holy Family, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We begin with a short introduction. First, an observation. The single most important element in training children, in other words, there is nothing more important in educating a child than to form the child's conscience. No one, I dare say, doubts the value of forming the conscience. The question is, and this is the focus of our reflections this evening, the question is how can this be done and done effectively? Notice we are speaking of the art of forming the conscience of a child. My plan is to cover the following areas of a vast subject. First, briefly, the meaning of art. Then, again, somewhat more lengthily, the meaning of conscience. And then, the forming of the conscience of a child. And most practically, the how, some basic rules or norms for forming the conscience of a human being from infancy on through one's life. What then is art? We may simply define art as correct knowledge of something. Join, however, with the skill in doing that. So that an art is both in the mind and in the will, which both understands what needs to be done and how it should be achieved. We may therefore say that it belongs to the essence of an art to have correct knowledge. Here, the correct knowledge in forming a child's conscience. then correct knowledge and doing something. What is the object of this correct knowledge? It is correct knowledge and doing what is conformed to the will of God. In other words, performing what we call good moral actions, actions that are pleasing to God. And finally, an art is not only the correct knowledge, or the knowledge of how something is to be done, but also a skill. If you wish, a certain ability which is already present in nature, but is developed by grace. And now that which should be done here, how a good moral life is to be lived. The art we are therefore talking about is a correct knowledge of forming the child's conscience, joined with a skill which involves the whole personality in being able to carry what the mind knows should be done and how it should be achieved. No conscience. If there is one subject on which libraries have been written, whole philosophies have developed, it is the meaning of conscience. And for us, let's be sure we know what we believing Christians understand by conscience. In general, we may say, conscience is the trained ability of judging between right and wrong in human conduct. Notice, it is the trained ability of judging. Conscience, therefore, is a function of the human mind. Of judging what? Of judging between right and wrong, both of past actions which have been done, of present actions that are being done, and of future actions that are to be done. But, a most important adversative, but, I am speaking as a Christian. I am speaking to believing Christians. Conscience, for us, is a human mind enlightened by faith, which enables a person to know what is pleasing or displeasing to God. Conscience, therefore, is indeed the human mind. But I repeat, supernaturally enlightened by faith, which then enables a person to know. Notice, conscience is a faculty of judgment, enables a mind to see, a mind to grasp, a mind to perceive what is pleasing or displeasing to God. This enlightenment of the conscience by faith is, as we will explain, crucial. Without the mind being enlightened by faith, we cannot really talk about conscience, certainly not about conscience as Christianity has understood the term for 2,000 years. We, thank God, have the faith by which we believe everything that God has revealed. The young child, the moment it is baptized, maybe as I was 3 days old, already at baptism, it receives into the mind what the mind could never by itself achieve. The mind is capable of a baptized person of knowing what God has revealed. And it is that capacity for knowing divinely revealed truth that makes all the difference in the world between speaking of the art of forming the conscience of a child in general and forming the conscience of a child, as I presume, who has the faith. It is, therefore, at the heart of forming the conscience of a child to realize that we are forming a human mind indeed, but hear it, a human mind which is gifted from the moment of baptism with a supernatural virtue of faith. The baptized child can know what the unbaptized can never perceive. It can see more clearly, more deeply about not just human action in general, what it is so crucial for our purpose of human action as being constantly judged by the mind and will of God. In other words, God is constantly at work, also forming the conscience of that child. But as we'll see before we finish this conference, in a mysterious way beyond our comprehension, God wants, we dare not say he needs, but he wants the parents to provide the conditions for which then the child's mind is trained, formed, according to the will of God, as God's will is revealed already when the child is baptized. What are we saying? We are saying, it is not only the parents, or say, adults, who are forming the child's conscience. No, and with emphasis, for a child that is baptized, it is the Holy Spirit who is forming the conscience of that child, because the Holy Spirit dwells if that child. Yet, and what an important yet, even the Holy Spirit requires, what a verb, requires that the child be instructed by other human beings who also have the true faith. Before we finish this conference, I want to say things that I'm afraid are not normally covered, either in writing or in a conference. Hear the role of the Spirit of God dwelling in the depths of the soul of a child. Why is it so important, we ask ourselves, to keep in mind that the conscience of a child with a virtue of faith is capable of knowing what could never be known without the faith? It is so important because our Christian faith reveals God's will for us about things that, except for God's revealed truth, we would never know are part of God's will. I wish to emphasize, a child is being taught, trained, and his conscience formed. Later on I'll explain, already even in a natural sense, from the moment the child is conceived in his mother's womb, and supernaturally from the moment it is baptized. God has revealed mysteries that we who believe can, and I want to emphasize, can understand, never comprehend, but can understand and put into practice, hear it. This is the main reason that God reveals the mystery of faith. Not merely to enlighten our minds, no. God reveals mysteries so that we will put those mysteries into practice. In other words, so those mysteries will penetrate the conscience, and the conscience then, being duly formed, will put the mysteries into moral and spiritual activity. Moreover, given our fallen human nature, the virtue of faith enables us to know what God wants, even in such basic matters of the moral law as, say, respecting human life. This is a revealed truth, need not have been revealed as part of the fifth commandment of the divine Decalogue. All of this, and much more, is infused, as we say, into the child the moment it is baptized. We go on. Forming the conscience of a child. To form a person's conscience is to teach that person what is God's will for that person in the changing circumstances of each individual's life. There are certain constants, unchangeable, absolute imperatives from the mind and will of God to every human being. But our minds need to be constantly enlightened in order to know how, in all the circumstances of life, we are to live up to those unchangeable divine precepts. We are, therefore, forming a child's conscience in the measure, hear it, in which we are informing the child about what is right and wrong. Oh, how cheap the word information as a noun or inform as a verb has become. Yet, it is through information, by enlightening the mind, the mind is formed. Whatever we've learned, clear back to our human existence, we have learned whether what we've learned was correct or wrong. Hence, the imperative importance of the parents informing their children of what is right and wrong. Needless to say, dear Lord, what a cheap statement. Needless to say, but how important. The parents themselves must know what is right and wrong. What they are informing their children forms their children's consciences and shapes their eternal destiny. Can we say that parents, and in good faith, can inform their children mistakenly about the moral law? Indeed. And then, those children, unless corrected, and it should be the parents themselves who are to be humble enough to recognize their error and correct their own mistakes in dealing with their children. Otherwise, the seed sown in the child's mind will produce, as we sadly know, either wheat or cockle, either good fruit for eternal life or poisonous fruit that will destroy the soul even in eternity. In other words, the parents' duty, and how careful they must be, and how aware nowadays parents should become, that nothing should take second place to the forming of their children's consciences, so that children know what is God's will for them here and now, at every moment in their lives. In other words, the parents are before God bound to form the conscience of their children in such a way that their consciences, those of the children, will be equipped to lead those children from time into eternity, from life here on earth to their heavenly destiny. We are calling it the art of forming a child's conscience, and so it is. It is, I do not hesitate to say, the noblest art for the parents to exercise. As I use these words, or even say, are superlative like noblest art. How well I know, how painfully well I know, how many parents are, I hesitate using the verb, are neglecting the training of their children's consciences because, so the parents mistakenly believe, there are more important things, dear Lord, more important than training the minds of their offspring and preparing them for a heavenly destiny.